Hello and welcome to Off the Pipes, your RMU men's hockey podcast here with RMU Central Media and RMU Radio. I'm Jonathan Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And as you could probably tell by the intro song, gold on the ceiling, and that's a perfect way to represent this upcoming weekend for RMU as they take on the Canisius Golden Griffins.
Yeah, the perfect song to play, as you mentioned, and another highly important series as they've actually moved up a spot in the standings after their Holy Cross weekend. So let's dive into that.
Yeah, so starting both these games, obviously, in Massachusetts, in Worcester.
I butchered that city name last week.
It's okay. There's a ton of Massachusetts names that are terrible to pronounce. There's actually a video on YouTube about people trying to pronounce it. But first game, they lost 5-3. Obviously, there's some positive to be found in there. Garrett Clegg scoring his first career goal, so good for him. And then, obviously, the power play, finding its
two
footing.
Two goals on, I think it was five attempts, which is still pretty good.
Two goals on six.
So that made it, what, three straight games with the power play goal, because they scored both games versus RIT.
Yes, we're on the power play, yes.
With Nick Jenny and then Daniel Mantenuto. But here you have Adamo and Jake Coleman. So four different guys in four straight games, and three straight games with power play goals.
And you were mentioning, I think, who was it? Was it Spellacy you wanted on the power play more last week?
Yeah, because he has figured in. All his goals have been on the power play, except that game-tying goal versus RIT last weekend, two weekends ago, whatever it was.
And obviously he still hasn't scored on the power play yet since we've mentioned that, but at least the power play is getting going.
Yeah, that's a huge factor for this team. Special teams in general. Because also, just to note right now, in the second game, shorthanded goal. So special teams has been playing much better. There was a power play goal given up against Holy Crosses in the first period from Connor Jean. But RMU fell early in this one, down 3-0 in the first period and then a fourth goal in the second period. And that's just one of those insurmountable leads that you just can't really come back from. I mean, hockey's crazy and anything can happen. And even if you're down 4-0 going in the third period, anything can happen, and you can come back. But it's really, really tough to go down 4-0 against any team, even if it's Holy Cross.
And also looking at this the penalty summary for them that game, it was intense. I mean, two penalties for face masking, which I don't even know. Is that just like grabbing the cage?
It must be, yeah.
And then three separate unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Two on Holy Cross and then one on Aiden Spellacy with like 11 seconds remaining in the game.
And you also see a boarding and a slashing, which obviously those can be pretty dangerous too. So
yeah,
seems like an intense game.
Holy Cross taking three straight interference penalties in the second period, including two of them 14 seconds apart. So it was a very physical game in the first one. Second game was also pretty, physical, but let's just finish up that first game real quick.
But to be successful, though, they took six penalties. You can't take that many. And I think maybe it's just like, just the energy the game is giving off that you just continue to take penalties and you're emotional. And I think that's the one thing. And to be honest, no knock on him, but Derek Schooley's an emotional coach during the game. And yes. most coaches are. Especially for hockey, because that's just how the game is. But I think comes a point in time where you need to keep your players in check, sort of. And I think players themselves need to realize what's at stake coming here the last couple weekends. I think they just need to be better, and it's been a problem all year. It seems game in and game out. There's four, five, six, seven times they head to the box, and it's just some things like that need to be cleaned up, even if it's just one or two penalties a game. But I think discipline. They need to become more disciplined.
Yeah, because even if you have the best power play or the best penalty kill in the nation, it's never perfect.
Yeah, especially when you're taking that many penalties. And when come playoff time, if they're heading to the box that many times, it's going to cost them. And it's going to cost them huge. If it's late in the game especially, you don't know what can happen. The other team can score. If it's a 5-on-3-2. You don't know what will happen. And they just need to do a better job of staying out of the box in general. And I think if Holy Cross is going to be chippy, let them be chippy. Let them play how they want to play. I think for Army, you need to be more disciplined and just play your game, play a speed game, play a little bit more defensively, and forecheck hard and get pucks to the net and bang in rebounds and stuff like that. And don't worry about the chippiness that's going on and the craziness of a game. Worry about scoring and winning, which, speaking of scoring, I mean, scoring has picked up a little bit over the past couple weeks.
It has. So since Mercyhurst, really, 4 goals, 1 goal, 5, 3, 1, 2, 4. 1-3-3-4. Technically, that RIT game had 4 goals because one of them was an overtime winner.
I mean, you see a couple of games with one goals, but you're seeing a lot more production because we really were talking about how bad the offense has been, but slowly they're starting to pick it up here.
Yeah, but I just want to talk about before that from November 22nd against Air Force. 0-1-2-0-2-0-1-2.
It's just not a good stretch there.
No, that's
not a good stat line.
That's what they're talking about, or that's what we're talking about when they say they need to score. Because obviously, if you score 3 goals, that should be good enough to win, but it hasn't been. You scored 4 goals against Arizona State, lost that one.
And also, Nick Prokusic has been a guy, their leading point getter, 23 points now in the year. He had an assist in the first game. He's been a guy sort of to rely on to at least help out scoring-wise, but in this game, you see 3 different guys score. Justin Adamo, Jake Coleman, and Garrett Clegg, who, like you mentioned, it's his first career goal. So getting guys to factor in differently, we saw Nick Lalonde against RIT score early. Spellacy finally got the monkey off his back scoring. Different guys factoring
in. As did Mantenuto against RIT as well on that beautiful play.
Exactly, and it's huge to get different guys scoring. And it just builds confidence, and it really helps out knowing that Scully can throw out different lines that are potentially going to put the buck in the back of the net. Because, I mean, we really talked heavily on the line of Luke Lynch, Daniel Mantenuto, and Nick Prokusic. Now, we don't know if they played together that much during Holy Cross, but you don't see many, at least in the first game, you see guys that aren't on that line, or none of those players really, besides Prokusic, getting a point. So different guys really factoring in. Nick Jenny is an assist as well. I think it's really nice to get other guys helping out and producing for this team.
Yeah, and obviously in net, it's been a bit of a difficult task for Kapellmeister as of late. He was pulled in that American Internationals 2 weeks ago, and he was pulled again against Holy Cross after allowing 3 goals on 13 shots.
And you saw versus Arizona State, he didn't start the second game. So I think we're seeing more offensive production, but it's sort of coming because they need it. And they're letting up a decent amount of goals, and I guess it's just from the fact that they're getting more goals, but the defense is sort of letting down the team down, I guess, a little bit on the defensive end. And Kapellmeister's just struggling as of late, not finding his touch that he had early in the season where he was one of the best in NCAA. At the time, I mean, he still is up there a little bit, and what save percentage? I'm sure
save percentage because they just
he's getting peppered. So
yeah,
but Kapellmeister just a tough stretch, and then you bring in Reed Cooper, sophomore, you know, played relatively well and got them that second win.
Yeah, in the first game, he had a 1 goal allowed in 22 shots
and 39 minutes. So like, Kapellmeister only played. Just all the way in just about the end of the first period, and then Cooper came in with about a minute left.
I mean, it was a 5-3, but technically 4-3 because one of those was an empty netter. So you can't really fault them for that. I just think that, and I just pulled up the lines, by the way, Prokusic, Mantenuto, and Lynch at least
They did start, yeah.
They started together. I don't know if that...
And I'm sure Scully shifted things around just because that's how he is, and that's okay. I mean, those guys were really producing those that weekend versus RIT, but if they weren't that much this weekend, you move them around, try to spark different things.
Yeah, and I think also that, I mean, let's get on to, in the second game, just to transition into that real quick. They brought the offense again, Reed Cooper starting that one, winning 4-2.
Only 2 goals allowed and 29 saves. So a nice start for him. The offense once again helped out, scoring, and 4 different goal scorers in this game. Danny Mantenuto, Luke Lynch, Santeri Hartikainen, and Jake Coleman. So four different guys. You see Hartikainen, who, what, it's been a few games for him since, I think, Mercyhurst.
Mercyhurst, or, yeah, he was.
Or AIC. It might have been American International that he scored.
I think it was the second AIC game that he played really well, because Schooley mentioned that, you know, he started the extra forward and then moved his way up the lines. Because I think he had a chance in overtime, the waning seconds that just missed the net, I'm pretty sure.
So, and then just looking at individual stats for the game, you got an assist from Michael Coyne. Hartikainen had a goal. Nolan Schaefer had an assist as well. Daniel Mantenuto, 2 points with a goal and an assist. Nick Perkusic had 2 assists. Cole won a goal. And Luke Lynch, a goal and assist. So, different guys factoring and helping out. You got Schaefer from the back end, just like Jenny in the first game, helping out, adding an assist. And here in this game, we see Mantenuto and Lynch and Perkusic all factoring in more compared to the first game. So it's nice to see them. It seems like the second game, they get more settled in, I guess, at least with those players. First game, I guess they really rely on other guys, but this game, they stepped up more, and that's where you found your production, and that's where you found the win coming from with 4 goals, and also a shorthanded goal from Coleman, which is nice, and I'm sure.
Unassisted, so I'm wondering if that was a breakaway.
And I'm sure, that's what I was going to say, his speed was a factor in that one. He's so quick out there. He was all over the place in the first RIT game, just couldn't get a break. He had like 3 or 4 breakaways, but just, again, just couldn't catch a break.
Yeah, and I was talking about the physicality in this one. This one was, Alex Robert, contact to the head, game misconduct. I'm curious to see if the Atlantic Hockey will have any suspension for that. I don't see anything on their Twitter at the moment about that, but that'll be interesting to see if he does get repercussions, because we saw Nolan Schaefer with that elbow against AIC.
How many games did he sit?
He only got one.
One, okay.
Yeah,
so
he only sat that because that was the first game of the series.
That was a pretty devastating blow. So one game, I mean, I guess it's fair enough, but surprised it wasn't more. So we'll see what happens with Robert and this whole situation. It's kind of a key player to miss against Canisius coming up. That'd be tough to lose him for this coming game, for this coming weekend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he's a key part, as we mentioned. He had an assist in the first game, I believe. No, that was Nick Jenny. But, you know, he's someone that can sacrifice the body and just really play. He might be the new sort of, I know he's a senior, but the new Eric Israel, at least for this season.
Yeah, anchoring down that back end, being sort of a leader back there. We see him. He takes a lot of shots. He gets the puck on net quite often. So just leading by example and getting pucks to the net and helping out in whatever way he can. So just looking at the stats throughout this weekend, who would you say was your spotlight player from these two games?
I think I'm gonna go with Reed Cooper. Obviously didn't really play much before this season. He had, I believe, 3 appearances. Michigan Tech, where he made 5 saves in a 7-0 loss, so a bit rough there. He had the series against first game against Holy Cross, 1 goal on 21 saves, and then the second for his first career win, 2 goals allowed on 31 shots. So I think that he has been solid for them. He's definitely my player that I think stood out the most for RMU.
And I think also looking at that, you see versus Arizona State, Dylan Lubsmeyer was in there. And then now Reed Cooper is thrown in net after Kapelmeister struggled. And I think Schooley is sending a message to his team and on all facets of the game, offense, defense, and goaltending, that you down the stretch are going to have to earn your playing time. And Cooper, who knows? He might start this coming weekend, just with how Kapelmeister's been playing. And, a good solid five periods out of Cooper, only allowing 3 total goals. And basically, from the first period on in that first game, RMU basically won that game.
Yeah.
If you
obviously ignore the...
If you take out that first period and then there's that empty netter, which wouldn't probably happen if that first period wasn't as bad.
They win 3-1.
Yeah. So my spotlight player from the past weekend against Holy Cross, Jacob Coleman, he was out against RIT in the second game, didn't play in that one, but comes back this weekend, 2 goals and an assist. He's just a key player, a senior that's very important to this offense. He's fast. He has a little bit of a physical presence for a small guy, but he can score. Point in case here on this weekend, 2 goals, throwing in an assist as well. So he's a huge factor to this offense. He really, I think, meshes with different lines, with different players, and with other guys that are still haven't played much, like with Granny Bear, someone like that out recently. It's huge for Coleman to step up, at least to throw in some goals and help this team win. So he was my guy to watch from this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that also a name to mention is Justin Adamo. He played well. He had, I believe, 2 points, a goal and an assist, but he was just able – or he had a goal and assist in the first game, and I believe a goal in that – what am I talking about? Let me – train of thought. All right. Sorry about that. He had a goal and assist in the first game, and then in that second game, it was an assist, I believe. So he played well as well, using that big body to his advantage.
So I think just looking at that first line – that at least in the first game started with Mantenuto, Lynch, Perkusic, and then you throw in Coleman and Adamo down the other couple lines,
and production Hartikainen.
Production from different guys, like we see Clegg and Lalonde versus RIT. Now it's starting to show that maybe all four lines can play, and that's very, very important for this team as they move forward, heading more and more towards the playoffs. So if you can get production from all your lines and then help from the back end as well. If they start really connecting and meshing well, this team can be kind of quiet but dangerous, because right now, if we want to, before we go into the next series, want to look at the standings, we see RMU sitting with 36 points at fifth place, so they would avoid playing in the first weekend as of now.
But then they'd play RIT, who beat them in overtime, but they still have struggled a bit against. They'd play them, and then obviously who knows what happens after that.
And I think that's also tough because we don't get to see potentially a home game, home playoff series. But
And RIT is perhaps the most away you can get, because it's just a hostile atmosphere in there. They anything you do wrong, they attack you for it.
Yeah, and even when they played here, their fans were all over, I think, the Colonials, even though it was an away rink for them. So they have really good fans, it seems like. I mean, I know you can account to that. But here sitting in the standings, I mean, I know you probably want to avoid playing an extra weekend. But also, I mean, you maybe want to get a first couple games against Mercyhurst. If you do slip to sixth or even seventh, which hopefully that's not the case. If anything, I mean, Bentley's right on their back with 35 points, 1 point behind. So
I mean, depending on what happens, they could theoretically slip all the way down to 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8.
A handful of spots, 10th. Basically.
You could almost slip down right in front of Canisius there.
And that's just not what you want.
No.
For the Colonials. That'd be a worst-case scenario. And I think with this upcoming weekend versus Canisius, I don't think that happens. I think, you know, early predictions, but I think they at least get a win and grab 3 points on the weekend to help them out in the standings, and then they have another weekend after that versus, I believe, Niagara it is, to finish off the year.
Yeah, so two lower teams in the standings, both in the Buffalo area, but I think that this is time to show what you're made of for Derek Schooley and his club.
And actually for Bentley, they play Holy Cross, and that's it for them. So they're on a 3-game losing streak right now, losing to Arizona State, non-conference, and then RIT. But they have Holy Cross, and that's it. So they have a possible 6 more points to get, where the Colonials have 12. So they really have the upper hand here, and I'd be shocked if they slip and they can't at least maintain that position, because really it's out of the picture to take over RIT's position, because I'm sure RIT will win their – won at least a couple of their last games.
Yeah, RIT play home and home against Niagara, and then host Air Force for the last for the remaining part of the season.
Air Force will be a little bit of a tougher one, but I mean, Niagara and Air Force are right there neck and neck in the standings, 33 points apiece. So they could give RIT a fight, and that'd be amazing if RIT doesn't really get another point, and RMU comes up from behind and passes them and then gets their themselves a home ice advantage playoff game. So RMU, for as bad as the stretch they suffered through,
they're still right in the thick of things.
They're still right in the thick of things. Yeah, there's so many teams right there behind them, but they're positioning they're at right now. I don't think we would have thought they would have been there after the Arizona State series, just because the stretch they were going through, those 16 games where they only won two of them, it's really unbelievable to see that they're sticking right around in that positioning in the standings.
Yeah, if you told me that after that stretch, RMU would be 500 in Atlantic Hockey.
Exactly.
I wouldn't believe you.
I was just thinking the same thing. Just because they just didn't look like a team that could be sitting in this position at 10-10 with four overtime points. It's a little shocking to me, but you know, I think it just goes to show that this team can compete, and I think they're a team you can't take lightly, just like any team in this division, in this conference, in Atlantic Hockey. So RMU really can sort of hold their own, but I think that stretch, I think, woke them up a little bit. They come back and play a good RIT team, split. I know they didn't get that win technically, and then they split here against Holy Cross, who, again, is right there in the standings. And now you have a very important – another very important series as it goes against Canisius.
Yeah, and on that series, obviously, it's a home and home. Canisius coming off a swept by AIC, who's now won 9 in a row.
Yeah, I don't think if you look at AIC, if someone's playing AIC, don't be surprised if they get swept, because that's just how good American International has been playing.
Yeah, it would be surprising for AIC to represent Atlantic Hockey in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, it's hockey, so who knows? They could go out in the first round. They could get swept, much like Tampa did.
Yeah, I mean, overall, they're 18-11-1. Not, I mean, picture perfect. 18-5-1 in the conference. All 18 wins coming within Atlantic Hockey. But, yeah, they're a team that could represent Atlantic Hockey in that tournament.
Yeah, and obviously for Canisius, they're a decent team, obviously. Looking at their statistics here real quick. I mean, they're not bad. They have averaging 2.5 goals a game, allowing 3.5. They get outshot by a margin of 5.7. So there's a chance there to really go and attack.
They do have three players in the 20-point category, with Matt Hoover leading them with 12 goals and 16 assists, 28 total points. And Nick Hutchinson, both of them senior forwards, 15 goals, 11 assists for Hutchinson. And then their defenseman, leading defenseman, Matt Stief, or Stife, however you want to pronounce that, 3 goals, 20 assists. So they got scoring, and then you also got scoring from the back end, which helps out a lot. And
in net, you have Jacob Barshevsky, 6-7-5 record, but the stats are they're decent. You know, you have 289 and a 908 save percentage. So,
and then you got Matt Ladd also, who played just because of how bad poor they played against AIC. Both of them saw some action in that series, but Barshevsky, a freshman, and Ladd, a sophomore, so young, relatively inexperienced goaltenders.
If you score early, you can get them rattled.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's the key to this weekend. I think going looking at it early right now, the keys to this weekend is getting at least pucks on net really early, controlling the tempo, setting the tempo for this game. RMU needs to do that, especially when they play away, because being in a away atmosphere, you need to get off on the right foot and start that game off strong.
Yeah, and one thing I would like to mention as well, they only have 8 players that are not minus. So, and their top are Nick Hutchinson, Grant Meyer, and Matt Long, who are plus ones. I know plus minus isn't the best stat, but Lapid Lee is a minus 17. Austin Alger, minus 13. Ryan Mioto, minus 10. So they're not strong defensively, really, with all these plus minuses. I mean, I know RMU's not that much better, but it'll be interesting to see if you can score early. You can beat this team.
Yeah, it's all about, I think, this series, who can get out front first and sort of hold that lead. Because we saw versus Holy Cross in the first game, RMU really got down early and just couldn't crawl back. They put up a couple goals, but it was a little too late. But another thing to take note of for Canisius is their special teams. AIC in the first game when they beat them 4-1 last weekend, two power play goals and had a shorthanded goal. Meanwhile, Canisius, their lone goal in that first game was also a shorthanded goal. And in that second game, they lost 3-2. American International had a power play goal. So with the way RMU's power play has been going as of late, they could have a great chance if Canisius takes penalties, stays undisciplined, that RMU can take advantage on the power play, score some goals, which obviously would really, really help.
Yeah, Canisius is averaging 5.4 penalties per game. Eight game misconduct so far. Eight of them.
That's kind of a high number. Yeah. I mean,
and they have six shorthanded goals, and then 24 power play goals and 18.2% on the power play.
So their special teams can be kind of effective here or there. But I think that's what's going to be what can dictate play this weekend is special teams. Obviously, we saw both teams last weekend had a shorthanded goal, and both teams have had power play goals. So they both can execute and capitalize on different chances on the special teams. So I think that's huge thing to look at when this series kicks off. And whoever takes the most penalties, I think, could be in trouble, though. It's all about how disciplined you stay. And if RMU is going to take too many penalties, good luck winning that game, winning those games.
Yeah. What's your prediction for this weekend?
The first game, I think RMU will lose. I think it'll be close. I think Cooper will actually get the nod. I think they lose 3-2. You see Nick Prokusic, I think, factor in on both goals, extend his point lead to 25. And then the second game, coming back home on senior night, I think they win kind of big. I think they win 6-2. I think they really get the offense going in that game.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's a overtime loss, so not much points lost in the standings. I'm going to go 3-2. I'm going to say Kapellmeister does get the start, but is pulled because Kanisha scores two quick ones. I'm going to say within like the first 5 minutes. And then I'm going to agree with you that they just explode on senior night. You have seven seniors on the roster: Sean Giles, Daniel Mantenuto, Mike Coyne, Alex Robert, Jake Coleman, Luke Lynch, and Justin Kapellmeister. And I'm going to say five of those seniors get a point.
I think it could be really an electric atmosphere down on the island for that last home game of the season, potentially, which, I mean, it could really happen. I mean, this is not having a home series in the playoffs. And you got senior night. It's also youth day, so they're giving out rally towels to the kids. And it's also on campus. It's siblings weekend, so if anybody is up here and heads down to the island, it could be a really, really fun atmosphere for their final home game of the year.
Yeah, and you have the women's game right before that, so
it's going to be a nice Saturday down on the island. Hopefully,
you'll
a
be
nice
there,
week.
Right? You'll be there, right?
Yeah, hopefully a nice weekend, all three games for two women's games and a solo men's game on Saturday night. Hopefully it's a good weekend, and hopefully all four games, it's a four-game sweep for both men's and women's.
Yeah, and just a quick look around Atlantic Hockey just to see what the Colonials may have to face for next week. You have Holy Cross taking on AIC tonight, Sacred Heart against Army tomorrow, Mercyhurst, Air Force, RIT Niagara, RMU Canisius, obviously, and then you have Mercyhurst, Air Force, Canisius, RMU, Niagara, RIT, Sacred Heart, Army, and Holy Cross, AIC.
Yeah, so an action-packed weekend this coming weekend as RMU, again, takes on Canisius. So before
Is your player to watch?
Yeah, before we leave, my player to watch, I'm going to go with a defenseman, Nick Jenny. He had one assist versus Holy Cross this past weekend, but had a power play goal versus RIT. I think he's played solid as of late defensively and really helped offensively. And one thing I saw in that RIT series, especially in that second game, which might have been a thing Schooley must have talked about before that game, the defensemen were really jumping into the play. And there were several times, especially Nick Jenny, I saw down low, below the goal line. And I guess
that's not something that they normally do. Normally, because I see, it annoys me so much. I see pucks, you know, on the power play coming across the dot, and none of the defensemen pinch. None of them pinch.
Yeah. But just more, seems like they're trying to get more offense out of the defensemen, because I guess maybe that's why it has transitioned into more goals for the Colonials, but sort of less defense with the defensemen jumping up in the play. But Nick Jenny, I guess, is my – not I guess, but Nick Jenny is my player to watch this weekend, especially look for him on Saturday when they are home against the Canisius Golden Griffins.
Mine is a player that's also a senior that we haven't talked about. I don't think we said his name once. I'm going Mike Coyne. He's a Buffalo kid, so he's playing against his hometown team. Senior night, obviously. I think he's going to play well. I think he's, you know, against Holy Cross, I believe he centered that third line with Adamo. But I think he's just going to, you know, come out, play hard, play tough. I'm going to say 3 points on the weekend for Mike Coyne.
That's a good choice there. I mean, yeah, we haven't really talked about him that much this year in general. So it'd be nice for him to really help out that offense.
Yeah, he has, I believe, 3 goals, 2 assists on the weekend. He had an assist against Holy Cross and had a goal against AIC. But other than that, he hasn't really done much. So,
and I think here and there he's been out of the lineup too. Is one thing. I think he was hurt maybe a few games. I'm not sure.
He didn't play against Arizona State, so that could be. But, yeah, he's my player to watch. I think he'll, you know, I think he'll put it together against his hometown team. And what obviously, as we mentioned, they swept them in the home-and-home earlier this year, both games by 4-2. So I think that it's going to be a good game for both games.
Yeah, I think Canisius will have a sense of urgency coming into this one, knowing that they lost those two games and also them wanting to move up in the standings as well. So I think it's going to be hard fought, really hard fought. It's going to continue to ramp up in energy. I think each game in and out is going to be more like a playoff type game, hitting, you know, just a better atmosphere in general. So it's going to be very fun this weekend, I think.
Yeah, but for this episode of Off the Pipes, I've been John Hanna.
I'm Nathan Breisinger.
And come on down to the island Saturday or Friday. Watch women's hockey play. And make sure to stay with us on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Century Bryce. That is Century, B-R-E-I-S.
And I'm Century Hanna, H-A-N-N-A. And stay tuned next week where hopefully we'll have some good news for you.